Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Division of Unintended Consequences here at Car Talk Plaza.
It is. I'm going to read this letter as it arrived. I don't know if I should mention his name, but why not, Phil? It's probably not often that you are thanked for helping someone's business, but that's exactly the reason I'm writing. About 6 months ago, you were helping a caller with a problem with his Honda. I can recall your words. You suggested that he take his Honda repair manual and go read through it while sitting on the John. I remember that call.
I do.
It is this seemingly innocuous suggestion which has been a tremendous boom for my business. You see, I am a colorectal surgeon. And as most good mechanics and many of my colleagues know from experience, performing your research while sitting on the John is an outstanding way to produce the most gargantuan hemorrhoids. Since your suggestion on the air, I have seen my business grow at a phenomenal rate. In fact, I've begun a little medical research study to see if I can tell the make and model of a patient's car by the size of his hemorrhoids. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, I can't thank you enough for your help with my business. Should you ever need any duff remodeling, I would be pleased to offer you my services at automotive mechanics rates. Sincerely, Dr. Philip Dean from somewhere in cyberspace. Well, Phil, I'm glad that it worked out.
Well, we try to help out any way we can.
And you never know what the unintended consequences could be.
That's
it opens up a whole new world.
That's what makes our show so dangerous. If you want to talk to us about your rear end or any other part of your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Julietta in Mount Kisco, New York.
Julietta. With a J or a G?
With a J. J-U-L-I-E-T-T-A.
From where?
Mount Kisco, New York.
So what's up?
Well, the reason I'm calling you is that...
Are you Italian? Is that why you got this beautiful
actually,
name?
No, actually, I'm Jewish, and I was named after two grandmothers, Julia and Etta.
Your name is Julietta Goldstein? What the heck kind of a combination is that?
I'm not supposed to tell you my last name.
I know. It just doesn't sound right.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too.
No, it could be.
So what's up?
Okay, well, I have a boyfriend who has this really old Toyota Camry, 10 years old. When he ever parks it in my driveway, which is kind of on an incline, he can't restart it again. And he swears it's my driveway, and I swear that it's his car. And he has this wacky theory that if he disconnects one of the cables to the battery and gives it a rest and disturbs the arc or some such thing, he tries to tell me. Yeah, see?
Is he into, like, alchemy and stuff?
Yeah, right. And he wears, like, this wizard hat when he does it. So anyway, I just say, get rid of the car. And I said, it looks like there's a little corrosion here. And he goes, oh, no, that's nothing. And, like, I want to know, is this, like, a really old battery? And is it the battery? And now he says he has to park it on the street where it's level. But when he tried to start it again and nothing happened, the lights did kind of flash on the dash. Like, it was getting some juice.
So when he parks it in your driveway.
Yeah.
Which is inclined.
Yes.
Inclined downward or upward?
The back end of the car is down.
Does it make a difference if he flips the car around so the back end is up?
No, he never tried that.
Never tried that.
All right.
So he drives up the driveway and he shuts off the engine.
Right.
And he comes into the house and stays for some period of time.
Yeah, like maybe overnight maybe. Okay.
Possibly.
Is
it ever longer than that?
Is this a mechanical question?
Well, we're just wondering if there's another boyfriend that comes on the other nights.
It's like never more than like 18 hours.
Well, what's the least it is?
The least?
What if he parks there for 20 minutes? Will it then start?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's only happened twice, and since the second time, he won't even try parking in the driveway, so I don't know.
And so on both occasions, it was an overnight affair, I should say.
You could say that.
Late night, at least.
A late night thing. And the next the next morning...
Who says it's an affair?
It was the wrong choice of words, an unfortunate choice of words, and I apologize.
So
he comes out the next morning, he gets in the car, he turns the key, and absolutely nothing happens. Is that correct?
No, not nothing.
What?
We'll hear a click, we'll look, and we'll see inside on the dash that some of the lights are attempting to light up.
And how does he then get the car started?
Well, one time we just rolled it down onto the street when it was level.
Yep.
And we waited a while, and he cursed a whole lot, and then it started. And the second time that this happened...
Are there any particular curse words that he may have used? And did they, was it in the form of an incantation?
You're going to edit this, but he just yells, "This sucks!"
No, we won't edit that out.
No, he just yells in the driveway. He stands and goes, "This sucks! This sucks!" And if he yells it enough, you know, yeah, maybe that's...
Makes
maybe
it
Camrys
stop.
Work with this.
Well,
I don't know. Well,
he's clearly not one with the car. But when you say you rolled it out of the driveway and he got it started, did he? Is it a stick shift car?
No, it's
no, no.
Automatic.
He just waited.
Yeah, he just waited.
He just let it sit there in the street where it was level. According to him, the incline has something to do with the loss of power
that
of the battery.
That was his first excuse.
Okay, this man is not making his living from anything scientific, I hope.
No, he's an attorney.
Ah.
Is that scientific?
No.
Good.
Yeah, and you know what's frustrating him?
What?
That he can't find anyone to sue in this matter.
No, that's not it. He's not that type anymore.
He's not.
No.
Anymore.
Okay.
Oh,
not
but
anymore.
He used to be.
Used
oh, yeah,
be.
Many years ago. Hated it.
Okay, now let me just get this straight. When was the first time that this happened?
It was a couple of months ago. It was springtime. It wasn't cold.
Ah, okay.
So would that be the first time he stayed over?
No, it would not. And as a matter of fact, the first time it happened, his kid was with him and he didn't stay over.
Well, obviously.
I just remembered that.
Oh, you just remembered that.
I just remembered that. The first time it was his daughter was there listening to him scream and yell at the car.
Uh-huh.
So the stay was obviously a lot shorter. It's just a few hours.
Exactly.
And so he's been driving this car for the past several months.
Doing nothing about it.
See,
right.
That was just to determine whether or not it was the alternator or the battery that's at fault.
Right, and the second time...
And it's not the alternator.
Then the second time that he tried...
I don't care about the second time.
Fine.
Keep your personal business to yourself.
I'm talking about the battery, guys.
Oh, the battery.
The battery cable. Police.
He needs a battery.
That's what I said.
He could.
He could need a battery. Might be he got a bad cable. Maybe, as you pointed out, there's corrosion. But it's relatively simple to figure out.
So like, he shouldn't sell the car and get another one?
No. He should take it to the garage that he might find somewhere.
Mount Kisco Sunoco.
Mount Kisco Sunoco.
We have one? Okay,
yes, you do. It's over there on Main Street.
Okay.
Elm Street.
You're so good.
No, and they'll test it. My gut feeling is that he needs a starter motor.
Okay.
No.
No?
No.
Well,
my brother's
up your mind.
Crazy. I don't need no stinking starter motor.
All right. You're right. I don't know what it needs.
Oh, great. I probably don't know what it is. Thank you.
But I stick with the starter motor. See you, Julieta.
Thank you.
Julieta.
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 Ciao.
Grazie mille.
Ciao. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Fidel over here in New Mexico.
Fidel?
Yeah.
You live in the entire state of New Mexico?
Well, actually, I live in California, but I'm driving a truck and I happen to be in New Mexico right now.
Hey! Excellent. Cool. Okay, go. What's the question?
Do you guys take a little something in the morning to help along your happiness?
Yes, in fact, we're taking it as we speak.
Oh, okay. We'll have to talk about that later, maybe. Anyways, hey, my deal is I have a 94 Chevy pickup, and it's got 22,000 miles on it. It's got the 350 5.7 liter.
Uh-huh. How many miles?
22,000.
Oh, you're always driving your big truck, so you don't drive this thing.
Yeah, exactly. I put 140 a year on my big truck, so that doesn't leave much time for my pickup.
Not much.
And when I come to a stoplight or a stop sign, it will periodically shudder, but I mean it doesn't. It's not like a shudder. It's almost like turn the ignition off and you turn it back on. And I mean, you can see it. It fluctuates about 50 RPM on the tach. And I mean, it's hard, and it seems to do it twice. But it runs smooth. I mean, when you take off, there's no hesitation or anything like that. It just does it when you come to a stop sign and. You know, or a stoplight.
You're right. But otherwise, when you're driving at high speed, it's never a problem.
Oh yeah, once you step on the gas, it's fine.
Gone. Right.
Have you ever noticed that if you sit idling for a long time, that you will get the shuddering to reoccur, or perhaps get noxious fumes from the tailpipe? Have you noticed that?
You know, when you start it, it has a smell, but once it warms up, once it runs for a couple minutes, it goes away.
But you never leave it idling for extended periods of time.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, we're struggling here.
Well, yeah.
We're
dying here, Fidel. Help us, man.
we'll let you into our thought process. Here's how it goes.
I don't think you want to do that. He let us into the thought process. Starts with eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Here we go with
you, Bob. No, I mean, the first question we're asking ourselves, I think, is it fuel-related or is it electrical?
I don't think it's either.
You don't?
No. Well, I mean, it's fuel-related
in a sense. It's one of them. It's always one of those two.
What I think it is a bad oxygen sensor.
You do?
I do. Mm. I don't think the oxygen sensor is sending the right data stream to the computer, and it's particularly apt to misbehave when the thing has been driven and then stopped. And then what it's doing is it's sending a signal that's telling, for example, the computer that the mixture is way too rich. And what does the computer do when it gets that signal? It leans out the mixture tremendously and causes the RPM to drop suddenly. Bra-boom. And you'll get that shutter. So that's what I think is wrong with it. So you need to take it to your Chevrolet dealer or whomever you take it to and ask them to test the O2 sensor.
Okay.
They can scan it if they want. They can put the machine on it. And my guess is the machine will tell them nothing. But it may say, especially if they do it right after it's been driven, it may say O2 sensor out of range. I don't know what that means, but someone's taking it out of the oven, I think.
It's like chickens. Free range chickens.
Free range O2
free
sensor.
Free range
O2 sensor. So you need to replace the O2 sensor. That's our guess.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
All right, thanks, man.
And keep that pedal to the metal.
Always.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888, what is that, Car Talk? That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Molly from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Molly.
How you doing?
Well, I have an Altima that's given me some problems.
Ah.
It's got about 66,000 miles, and whenever I'm driving it, well, it's off and on, really. Whenever I let up the clutch, it sounds like the sound of a cowbell, like you're hitting a spoon against a coffee can.
As a cowbell.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a cowbell.
A dull...
But it's muffled.
Boink.
Boink.
Yeah.
Boink, boink.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And this happens as the clutch is somewhere between all the way down and all the way up?
That's right.
As it's coming up.
It seems to be a little bit closer to all the way up than all the way down. But
you must be moving in order to get this. In other words, you can't sit there.
No, I'll bet you're not.
Wait a minute.
I'll bet you're not.
You're leading the witness. If you sit there at a traffic light and step on the clutch, release it, step on the clutch, release it, does it make the noise?
It doesn't seem to do it. Like, I tried to have my husband listen to the sound. I'm sitting in the garage, and I can't get it to make it.
Was the engine running?
Yes.
And you let the clutch in and out, and nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
Now, how about if you try to accelerate faster from a dead stop? In other words, if you're trying to accelerate from a stoplight, as you're letting the clutch up, you get the boing. If you are trying to accelerate faster from a stop, as opposed to gently, is the sound more pronounced? Is it more likely to make it? Is it deeper? Does it change at all?
It doesn't seem to. It typically doesn't start until I've been in the car for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, my first inclination is that it's a motor mount, because when you let the clutch up, what you're doing is you're asking the engine to turn the wheels, basically.
And as we know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Right. So as the crankshaft of the engine turns clockwise, it wants to turn the entire engine, that is the block of the engine, counterclockwise.
Okay.
And the motor mounts are there to prevent that from happening. So you could have a bad motor mount.
Because if the motor mounts weren't there, every time the car took off, the motor would jump out from underneath the hood.
Right, and go flipping down the road behind
you. Flipping down the road sideways.
So it sounds like I don't really need to worry about this at all.
Yeah.
But I think that's what you have, and the reason you can't reproduce it when you're stopped is that when you step on the clutch and let it out and push it in again, you're not asking the motor to move the car because you're not in gear.
Right.
You might want to try the following.
Okay.
No, never mind. Is our insurance paid up, Dougie? He says no. Okay, forget it. Molly, it's been great talking to you.
No, you got to tell her.
I want you to set the handbrake.
There mm-hmm. you go.
Okay, and put the thing in first gear, but don't let the... Maybe you need to have a... We do this all the time in the shop. You need
this
to take a, it to a professional.
This is what we would do.
What we would do is the following. We'd set the handbrake, and we would pull the car... Before we did that, we'd pull the car up to a tree so that it couldn't move. And then you would try putting the thing in first gear and then let the clutch out a little bit.
Okay.
Hopefully to the point where it just begins to engage, uh-huh. and then you'd hear the noise. And I think... It's either the aforementioned motor mount
mm-hmm.
or it's a loose joint on the front exhaust pipe. There's a flexible joint there, and you're hearing the thing go clink, clink.
I'm voting for the motor mount myself.
Yeah, but if you take it someplace where they have the courage to do this and...
And it's not their car.
and the insurance paid up, then they'll find it in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Good luck, Molly.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Tommy, one look at you, and I know it's time for a break.
That's funny. I mean, I feel fine.
Well, so did I, till I had one look at you. Now I need a break.
We'll be back in just a minute.
I was on a Delta highway, twilight rising from the road. Lightning shone on cotton fields. I drove through pink skies alone. Went to Lourdes and Santiago, traveled down to New Orleans, between pilgrims and the bon ton, lived the visions and the dreams. All this searching leads down such winding roads.
And even though levitating yogis fall out of the air whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/CarTalk to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Until recently, Edmund Hong says he didn't speak out against racism because he was scared.
My parents told me not to speak up. Because they were scared. But I'm tired of this.
Listen now on the Code Switch podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and some right answers.
Yeah, they're right because they're all... Stephen Wright.
My brother's been amusing himself for the last 2 hours, sitting there chuckling.
I don't know where this came from. It's not email.
No, it's...
Oh, it came from a website. Farouk's humor page.
Ah.
Stephen Wright is a very strange guy. Here are just a few Wrightisms. I'll just pick out a few here. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of wits. I got a dog. I got a dog and I named him Stay. Now I say, come here, Stay. One day I spilled spot remover on my dog. He's gone now. I stayed up all night playing poker with tarot cards. I got a full house and 4 people died. The sign said 8 items or less. So I changed my name to Less. Whoa. This man is gone.
Well,
good for you, Stephen. Hope they let you out of the home soon.
No, stay in. He may do his best work there. Hey, look, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 552-872-2888-1 backwards. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Backwards now. Hello.
Hi, this is Jeremy in Baltimore.
Hi, Jeremy. What's happening, man?
Well, my wife and I just had twin daughters.
And you named them after us?
Well, actually, no.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
All right.
So the girls have put us, you know, in for a lifestyle change, and we just went out to buy a station wagon.
Yeah.
And we were test driving Subarus and Passats. And it sort of reminded me of a problem. Whenever I ride in a Volkswagen, at least a new Volkswagen, I get carsick.
Yeah.
And I don't usually get carsick, but I do in Volkswagens, in Passats, in the new Beetles.
Do you get just sick? I mean, you get distressed, or is there the whole thing?
I just get distressed. I feel queasy, uncomfortable.
And at which point you do what?
Well,
do you recover from it, or blow, you say blow well, over?
No,
have you blown chunks?
And would you if you drove?
No, I haven't. But yeah. I haven't been on a long trip in one.
And this has happened in Volkswagens for how many years?
I don't know. I haven't ridden in too many Volkswagens, but the last couple of years.
Does it also, do you have any friends with money who have, like, Mercedes?
I don't think so.
Because how about BMW? Because I'm going to agree with my brother here.
I think it has to do with the dashboard.
Aha!
The plastic.
That's what I suspected.
Well, I think. I mean, I have no evidence whatsoever. But in my humble opinion, I think that the whatever product they use in Germany, for some reason, the German cars seem to have a different smell.
They exude some kind of
horrible, poisonous, volatile, organic chemicals.
The stuff probably isn't any more harmful than the stuff that you can't smell, or at least isn't offensive to you. But I often, especially in BMWs, will get nauseous.
Huh.
There you go. That's okay. Probably made in Germany, too, isn't it?
What are the chances
of that? Well, you know, it's not true that this stuff is harmless, because what's happening is the chemicals are coming out of this plastic.
Yeah.
They're sublimating, as we say.
Well, what we don't realize is we have a golden opportunity now that we have
to sue everybody. Oh, no?
Well, no. I mean, the reason they went to plastic dashboards was because of the danger inherent in the old-fashioned metal dashboards you may remember from your youth.
Right.
But now that we have...
In which people would die instantaneously, and now they die slowly.
Right.
Slowlier.
but my point being that because we have seat belts now and airbags, we can go back to metal dashboards. We don't need these stinking...
Wouldn't that be great?
And you can put your plastic Jesus with the magnetic base.
Yeah.
I mean, they ruined it for us. You could stick all kinds of stuff on a metal dashboard.
Oh, yeah.
And plastic dashboards came along and ruined that whole thing. The short answer is buy the Subaru.
That's what we did, actually.
Good.
You did.
Good thinking.
It's better than puking every day.
Yeah.
Hey, that would be their new advertising slogan. Buy a Subaru. It's better than puking every day.
And you like the Subaru?
It's great.
Oh, great. We like it, too.
Yeah.
See you, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Have fun with your twins.
We will.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sigrid Snyder from Leesburg, Virginia. How are you?
Sigrid?
Yes.
S-I-G-R-I-D?
My goodness gracious, you must have looked it up in the dictionary.
See, you notice how I just...
No, you said it so perfectly.
Yes, you enunciated so well.
Where are you from, Sigrid?
I live in Leesburg, Virginia.
Leesburg, Virginia.
Yes. Transplanted here from Munich, Germany.
Got it. Well, we figured that.
Wow.
We didn't know Munich, but we figured someplace in Germany. How are you, Sigrid?
I am fine, thank you, and hopefully after I talk to you, I will be even better.
How long ago did you get transplanted?
38 years ago.
And is it taking?
Well, so-so. As long as I make my...
Are you still trying to escape and go home?
Yes, as long as I go home once a year, it's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yes.
So what's up?
I have this Altima, Nissan Altima, that I got for my daughter, bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
A deer hit her once, but other than that, she has had no problem.
A deer hit her?
Yes. Well,
that's interesting.
she is such an animal lover that there's no way she could hit the deer.
Of course not.
So it had to be the deer.
Yeah. Yeah. Our sister claims that a tree hit her last week.
The deer is a little bit more credible.
And a stone wall.
That's absolutely right. All of a sudden, it came alive, and it headed right for me.
So what problems are you having, pray tell?
This is the strangest thing. I took it in for an oil change to a local gas station here.
Mm-hmm.
And after I picked it up from the oil change, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I noticed the oil light came on. Only when I stepped on the brake, though. And very short, and then it went off again.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So a friend of mine, her husband, checked it out. And he said, you almost don't have any oil in there.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. You were low on oil.
Right. So I did that, and he said, you know, you may, when you take it in for your next oil change, have the guys check it for a leak. He said, you may have a leak. You shouldn't have been that low.
And up until that time, it had never used any oil?
No.
Okay.
And how many miles are on it?
About 107,000. So I took it in for my oil change.
Good, normal.
You know, it was due again.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, and I said, you know, by the way, when you go through with the oil change, there might be a little leak in there. Would you mind checking that out? He said, no. So he calls me back, and he said, we found the oil leak, and the total repair bill is $742.30.
He fixed it?
No.
No, that was the estimate.
He said it will be $742.
Yeah.
Let's see. At a dollar a quart, you can buy 742
exactly.
And a half quarts.
That is exactly what my cheap German mind went for. Now, I said to him, well, no, don't do that.
What did he find for $742?
Well, he says the timing cover and the front seal are leaking.
Yeah, and he wants to change the timing chain, the tensioner, the seals, the whole thing.
Yeah, and the labor is about $560. Parts are roughly maybe $110.
Oh, yeah, and that's probably close to the right price.
Okay.
So the question is, should we go for it?
Right, yeah.
But let me get the chronology right. Your friend who noticed that you had low oil filled it up for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
he did?
And how long has it been since that fill-up?
It's been about 2 or 3 weeks.
And it took many weeks before the oil level went from full to down 2 quarts.
Right.
So let's say you are leaking oil at the rate of a quart every 500 miles. I think that's a conservative number.
Yeah.
And it might continue at that level for quite a while.
Right.
So you could leave it and just continue to add oil. As my brother says, you can add 742 and a third quarts.
Yes. And I'll be retired by the time I use up the $700.
Well, here's the only flaw in that logic, is that the oil leak could get a lot worse without your knowing it.
Until it's too late.
And here's when it's going to leak. It's going to leak when you take a trip of 200 miles with it.
Right.
It will be, you check it every day, but you're driving 8 miles a day.
No, I'm driving about 40 miles a day.
All right, 40 miles a day. Made me a liar.
Yes, I am.
But one day you will take a trip of 200 miles, and you will seize the engine because you will have run it out of oil. And that's the danger. If you're planning to keep the car for the long haul.
Yeah, I do plan to keep it.
Then you should fix it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to... before you do it, before you spend the $742.50, I would take a trip to your local parts store and look on the shelves where you will find all kinds of jars,
bottles,
and
cans. Are you getting a kickback from these guys?
And look for something that says on it, fast.
Fast?
Fast. And then read the smaller print and make sure that it says, stops oil leaks fast, because there are things that do other things fast as well. You don't want those. You just want the one that says stops oil leaks fast. And it'll tell you to pour a quart of this in your toilet or in your car or in your engine or somewhere.
You might as well pour it down the toilet.
And give it a try. Give it a try.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes those things work. And you may be the one person in 1,000 for whom it's going to work, and you will have saved $742.50.
And you may make a lot of money because they may have to hire you for one of their ads.
Yeah, you said it stopped my oil leak
fast,
says Sigrid from Leesburg, Virginia.
And I can prove it with my sheet.
So when you subtract the $10 from the $742.50, there will be $732.50 left over for you to do with what you will. And I would suggest that part of that go to the Save the Skeets Foundation.
I will personally bring it over.
And if it doesn't work, I wholeheartedly agree with my brother that you should do it now. Because why not now?
Okay.
Now's better than then.
See you later.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your advice.
Thanks for calling,
Have
Sigrid.
A wonderful day. Thank you,
you
for
too.
Taking me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
It's Mike Nelson. I'm calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi,
Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good.
What's up, Mike?
Well, it's kind of a weird thing. A couple weeks ago, I went to Seattle with my children, my 9-year-old daughter and 6-year-old son, and we were out at the airport renting a car, and when we got out of the car, my daughter was getting some clothes out of the trunk. We were going to change our clothes, and she kind of hung her blouse down there right by the exhaust pipe right at the time I started the car, and she came running up and said, "Daddy, the car sucked up my shirt."
Hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was weird. She asked me why, and I...
I mean, did the shirt, like... disappear?
It went inside, yeah. She showed me, it, you know, I walked out and looked, and she said, yeah, it went in there. And
really?
So,
really?
I revved the engine thinking it might blow it out, but it didn't come out.
Doesn't anyone screen these calls?
No, it's true. I swear it's true.
No, I believe you, Mike. You're not the kind of guy who would lie.
You had started it up, and it sucked the shirt up, and the car continued to run?
Yes.
So it didn't suck it up when you turned the key off, because that could happen.
The shirt was down near the, if we get this right, the shirt was somewhere down near the exhaust pipe. And you happened to start up the engine, and as you started it, according to your daughter, who's 9 years old, and probably has a lot more brains than either one of us, the shirt disappeared by getting sucked into, what does exhaust mean? It means out from.
That's what I thought.
Latin, out from.
Yeah, well.
Away from.
Yeah.
Into.
Yeah, but we're going to have to think of something good here.
Well, here's what I thought.
Well, see, here's the curious thing. When you first said it, I could see it happening.
I can too.
I can see it happening, and yet it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there is a...
wait a minute. Now, hold it. When the engine is cranking,
there is a significant amount of what's called valve overlap.
Yes,
so that there are pistons moving downward on the intake stroke while the exhaust valve is still open.
Yes, indeed. That's
okay.
Right. So there is vacuum.
So when the exhaust stroke has finished, the piston, close your eyes, Mike. Imagine this. Imagine a cylinder in which the piston has descended, okay?
I'm with you on this.
On the power stroke, and now it is coming up, and it is pushing the exhaust gas out of the open exhaust valve, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the exhaust gas is wafting out the tailpipe. However, in order to be ready for the new charge to come in, the intake valve has to open before that piston has reached what's called top dead center.
Sure.
So while the exhaust valve is still open, the intake valve opens up, okay? And now the piston is moving down, and the exhaust valve is still open a little bit, and it's closing. My brother's got that look on his face. It's closing because you need time to get all that stuff, and it's possible to have a little negative pressure in the exhaust system. Don't start laughing. You're ruining the whole mood. You can't be laughing. Oh, that's a credibility destroyer, man. You can't go laughing during a science. You think they laughed at Einstein?
It sounded good for a while.
Where did I go wrong?
Well,
what happened?
I can tell you.
You can tell me?
Yeah, you said a little.
A little. The word was a little.
That was it. I mean, I was trying to visualize an entire shirt.
Well, I can't do the whole shirt. It must have been, well, a little kid, 9 years old, it was a little shirt.
It was a little blouse, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, we have to believe what happened. And we can't say that this is crazy and that therefore it didn't happen because we have an eyewitness, this 9-year-old girl.
And I looked all over. I mean, and she said, no, it went right in there. And
yeah.
I said,
and if we know that it happened, then there has to be an answer for why it happened.
And
my brother's is
answer.
As good as any.
As good as you're going to get.
We're going to get.
That must be what happened.
Well, I am going to leave the studio here, and I am going to go right outside and try this. Anyone got a shirt?
No, we'll use 20s.
Hey, Mike, thank you for helping in science, furthering knowledge on the planet.
See you, Mike.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Sucked up the shirt?
Okay, we're going to try it as soon as we leave.
We are.
You get changed for 20? All right, it's time to take a short break.
How short?
Real short, like just a minute.
Oh, too short for a nap.
Right, exactly.
I'll have to nap during the next few calls instead.
Well, I'll let you know if anyone notices. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
On the highway, dead animals lay in lumps and chunks. I counted all the cats and dogs that Ricky took the skunks. If I had a nickel for everyone I've seen so far, next time we stop for gas, wouldn't have to siphon from a car or a truck. Feels like I might be running out of luck.
And even though elephants try really hard to forget whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
How do you maintain a friendship in the middle of a pandemic?
Including our last restaurant meal. My last restaurant meal was with you. I love that.
Wow.
Aminatou So and Ann Friedman gave me some friend pointers. They host a podcast called Call Your Girlfriend, and they wrote a book all about friendship. Listen and subscribe now to It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and how to offend at least half the population.
Yeah, but which half? Actually, no, I mean, this is not offending. I don't think so. No. Well, maybe it is.
Go ahead. We'll let our listeners be the judges.
A short list of why it's good to be a woman. Am I in trouble already?
I want to distance myself from this entire...
I
don't know what it says, and it may be unoffensive, but I just want to, in advance, distance myself. So I'm going to move over here. Okay, go ahead.
Fine. It's good to be a woman because we can congratulate our teammates without ever touching them in the rear end. We don't have to pass gas to amuse ourselves. We got off the Titanic first. If we marry someone 20 years younger, we're aware that we will look like an idiot. That's it. That's all. That was pretty harmless.
Oh, you didn't read the good ones. Come on.
There are more here. Okay. We don't look like a frog in a blender when we dance. How about this one? No fashion faux pas we could make would ever rival the Speedo.
That's true.
We don't have to pass gas to amuse ourselves. Yeah, but you ain't having a good time like we are.
That's right. You should try lighting them.
There are some things that women would never have invented. Like that.
Right.
I mean, that the thought would never... Oh, well.
I think we discussed once that women don't, at least the women we know, don't do practical jokes.
Yeah. They don't like practical jokes. They think they're stupid, they're cruel.
Yeah.
But they're funny.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. I don't want to go there, all right?
Well, don't, yeah. Anyway, if you want to keep your puzzler skills fresh this summer, we have set up Puzzler Central on the web.
Yeah.
Where you can get a new puzzler every week this summer.
New.
Different. Hmm. Something you may not have seen before, but then again, you may have. And you can find that at cartalk.com. And right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8225. 255. If you have a question for Avogadro, his number is 6.023 × 10². Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dennis from Santa Rosa, California.
How many N's?
Two N's.
Two?
Santa Rosa. There's only one end of Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa. Haven't been there, but is it nice?
It's nice. I'm looking at my wife's roses at the moment. It's north of San Francisco.
Yeah, we know where. We just don't know what. Yeah. So what's up, Dennis?
What I have is a sort of an automotive mystery. It's not so much a problem. I have a 1978 Toyota Land Cruiser. And the other evening I was camping, and I left my radio on most of the evening and ran the battery down. In the morning, I managed to snag a jump start, and I didn't really want to go for a drive to charge it up. And I remembered something an engineer friend of mine told me once. To make the battery charge faster, he said, turn on all your accessories. Turn on your lights, your heater blower, your wipers, everything.
An engineer told you this.
An engineer.
He doesn't work for NASA, does he?
No, he works for a battery company.
In any case, this is an old vehicle, and it has the needle-style ammeter or whatever.
Yeah.
And with the engine idling, I brought the idle up a little bit with the choke, and it was showing on the charge side.
So it was on the plus side, and then?
Then I pulled on the heater blower full blast. And it went way over to the plus side. Bingo, I'm thinking, hey, what he said works. And then I tried the lights. The lights had the opposite effect. The lights took it back down to just barely plus. So I'm wondering, what is there? Is there something to this theory?
Well, we have to be careful here, because this is a wacko theory. And there have been other wacko theories that we have poo-pooed, and we have subsequently found out they were correct. For example, the business of on a bitterly cold day, which you don't know about in Santa Rosa, and your battery is really low, and you want to start your car, before you try to start it, someone said, you turn on the headlights. The headlights draw a little bit of current, and the theory was that if you get the battery started, give it the idea that you're going to be asking for more. Rather than asking for more all at once, you have a far higher likelihood of starting the vehicle, to which we said, oh, stop it! It works. We have plenty of evidence from dozens of people that it works. Well, we have evidence all over the world that it works. Alaska.
Fine. Fine. So, I don't buy it.
Well, but this guy, your engineer friend, is crazy.
No, well, he isn't crazy. Here's what's happening. The ammeter is telling you as you turn accessories on that the alternator is producing more electricity. Okay? Because as the regulator sees the demand for electricity increase, it allows more electricity to be created by the alternator. However,
you're using it up.
Exactly. You're not charging the battery with that. You're using it to run the headlights, the wipers, the heater blower. So while it is making more electricity, it's questionable whether any of that is getting to the battery. And I would suspect that at idle speed or slightly above idle speed, you're actually running the battery down.
It's analogous to this. You run out of water in the radiator. And someone says, here's what you do.
Poke a hole in it.
Poke a hole in the radiator while you're pouring water in the top.
It'll hold more.
Well, you'll be able to add more.
You certainly will be able to add more, but it sure isn't going to make it fill up any faster. So I think your engineer friend in this case is completely wacko. He probably went to MIT where they never saw anything. They only saw the equations that described the thing. And that's my position, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, and I'm morally opposed to the other theory, too, about the tickling the electrons.
Tickling the electrons.
I mean, come on.
No, it doesn't make sense. Turning stuff on is just sucking electricity away from the battery.
And the reason your battery charged up adequately is it wasn't very dead to begin with. It was barely dead. But yeah. You need to get one of those booster things.
Booster?
It looks like a booster pack. It has like jumper cables, but they're only about a foot long. And what this thing is a battery that you charge up at home with 110 volts. And you throw it in the back of your Land Cruiser. Prestone makes a very nice one. It has a little light on it. And it has two jumper cables that you hook up to a dead battery, and ba-boom, you start right up.
That's what I need, because I do tend to listen to Sylvia Poggioli on Into the Night sometimes.
That'll put you right to sleep.
Sylvia Poggioli.
See you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
I'm just wondering, if it's this easy to convince people of completely ridiculous things. How many things have we been crazily
imposing on people?
No, no. I mean, how many things have we believed that are completely nutso? We would believe anything.
Well, you know, if
I mean, we happen to know a little bit about how the charging system works, and so we know that this is crazy. But if someone comes and tells you, you know, when you turn your TV set on, you got to make sure that you're on channel 17. Otherwise, the diodes won't last long.
The Zener diodes.
The Zener diodes want to be on channel 17. And you'd say, oh, huh?
Well, there has to be that element of doubt in there, or that a little bit of the unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if someone said to you, look, you know, if you want to get your car started every morning, you've got to fill the thing up with the garden hose, you'd say, no. But if there's something that sounds a little mysterious and has just a little hint of a possibility, say, could be.
Or can't wait.
Can't wait. Yeah, I mean, this Dennis was perfectly willing to believe, and we may yet find out that we're wrong.
We may.
Some hotshot electrical engineer is going to write to us and say, well, on that particular vehicle,
don't you guys know about
that Kirchhoff's? That had a double feedback rectifier aged in the keg.
It's not a simple AC circuit. It's good. And the Frank Kirchhoff, you know him, don't you? And
so we may yet find out that, but that's why you can pull stuff over on people, because you have to have a little bit of mystery in there.
My wife makes up theories about everything. Everything she says, I say, really?
You go for it.
I go for every one of them.
There's a sucker board every day. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gail in Salt Lake City.
Is that G-A-Y-L-E?
No, it's G-A-I-L.
I know. That's what I wrote.
You know, I just have to beg to differ with you guys. I am a woman, and I am a practical joker.
You are?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the latest practical joke you've pulled off?
When was the last time you put shoe polish on a phone?
When did you last put saran wrap on a toilet? Come on, fess up, kid.
Well, how about a remote-controlled flatus machine?
Really?
Yes.
That sounds... Where did we get this? Well, I'm glad to hear, and I think we need to hear from more women who are practical jokers, because maybe it's just the women that we know.
That's right.
I see a nationwide poll here of how many women are practical jokers. Wow.
Yeah, I see it. I see
that's
it coming.
That's it.
Anyway, Gail, what can we help you with today?
I've always wanted an old VW Beetle, and...
We can tell you how to electrify the bathroom doorknob. I'm sorry.
And have you ever done the saran wrap thing?
No.
Ask my sister about it.
You saran wrap a toilet, and especially if you take one of the light bulbs out of the bathroom, it's almost impossible to detect.
You can't see it. It's so beautiful. I mean, you can't see it. You know.
Our sister recently went on a trip, it was the occasion of the birth of her first grandchild, and it was at Easter time, and she had already prepared Easter dinner, which we traditionally have at her house. And she said, well, there's no sense in your going someplace else. I've already got everything cooked, but I'm not going to be here. Why don't you guys just come to my house and have dinner? And, you know,
she said, in fact, I've already set the table.
So all you have to do is eat dinner and clean up and go home. So we did even better than that. We, instead of washing all the dishes, we threw half of them out. So we cut down the time. But we couldn't leave without doing some practical jokes. And we short-sheeted her bed, which didn't work because we overestimated her height. And she got into bed and didn't know that anything was wrong. But the brilliant thing we did was we saran-wrapped her toilet. And I needn't say anything else, but of course, she came home from her long car ride.
The imagery.
Late at night, and I was smart enough to unscrew one of the two light bulbs in her bathroom, which she just assumed was blown out, of course, and being able to see with the light from one, never mind. Anyway.
Okay, an old VW Beetle, yeah. An old one.
Yeah.
60s?
Yeah, 60s. And I'm wondering if it's possible to install a good heating and air conditioning system. Did I just hang up?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I've got the solution if you really must have
but
one of these.
But the answer is no, you can't forget about air conditioning.
Until now.
Oh.
You go to Home Depot.
Oh.
Okay. And you buy the smallest window air conditioner. You know the kind that you'd put in a window of your house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're going to figure out somewhere to install that, probably in the passenger side window. And it's nice, so keep it from falling out, you roll the window up. Then, while you're at Home Depot, you're going to buy the following: a trailer and a 110-volt generator.
And a 55-gallon drum to put the gasoline in.
No, you use the same gas for the generator and the thing, and you're going to run the extension cord to the generator. You know, and you're going to run this thing. You're going to just pull the cord. You're going to run this thing, and you're all set. And you'll get heat, because in the winter, just turn it around. No, unfortunately,
Gail, this is pretty hopeless.
The short answer is no.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, it is disappointing.
But you know, it's not too bad, because these old Volkswagens were death traps.
Really?
Yeah.
We wouldn't really recommend a 60s VW.
Yeah. I mean, there was a certain charm to these old ones.
Uh-huh.
And I understand
that.
And
a mystique.
Yeah.
Were you a Haight-Ashbury hippie?
Yeah. Bay Area, you know.
Well, smoke a joint and forget about the car.
Yeah. buy yourself a, you need a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, there's no way to redo what wasn't done there.
Well, you know, what's unusual about these cars and kind of ironic is they have their best heat in the summer and the best air conditioning in the winter.
Yeah, they're great. If only you could save up all that stuff.
Right, right.
Check out the Mini. You might love it.
Thanks so much.
See you, Gail.
Thanks.
A pleasure.
Thanks for calling, Gail.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Contra Costa Continental Breakfast and Contra Dance Confab, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Overa. Our Bob Dylan specialist is I Shall Be Released. The driver of our moving van is Carrie DeSofa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. My Foot. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. The Car Talk musical director is Donna E. Mobile. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our staff mediator is Sue First. Our Russian chauffeur is Pete Goffin-Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Yulua Stewey, known to the obnoxious mimes in Harvard Square as... Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our non-quality controlled clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we'll help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's ready for its next life? The Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and ship the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now, and next April 15th, you can tell the IRS to rave on, because you got a tax deduction. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR doorman mutters something about the doorknob and the way out every time he hears us say it, this is NPR.